cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central, proudly brought to you by the Wedding Expo and Wedding Inspirations Magazine South Africa, with myself, Carly de Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Ntlapo.
We've got a fabulous guest in studio. Her name is Lynn Reese, and she does professional makeup artistry. Is that correct, Lynn?
Yes.
Welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. The reason why we brought you on today, obviously, we are talking about all the beauty regimes before the wedding and even on the day of the wedding and maybe even after the wedding. If you can give us a little bit of tips on what brides should be doing, maybe even grooms, what they should be doing before their wedding.
But maybe before you start, tell us a little bit about your company, what you do, your career, just so that the listeners know exactly who they're talking to.
Okay, so my business is going 1st of September. It will be 17 years old.
Sure. Wow.
So it's been a most fabulous journey and career in makeup artistry. More, I think we have done possibly more than 2,500 brides.
Oh, wow.
The makeup and their facials.
Facials and makeup.
Wow.
So it's been a very special journey that I wouldn't change for anything in the world. It's been incredible.
You and I have known each other for quite some time now, and you are always incredibly passionate about those faces and that makeup. And it's so great to see that after all these years, you've still got such passion for faces.
I know. I think the brides are my passion.
Is it the brides?
The brides. And now we've also branched into facials and pedicures and manicures.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically helping the bride and prepping her for her big day.
Okay.
So that she looks better and perfect for her wedding day.
Okay, lovely. Awesome. So your salon is called Clary Sage.
Yes,
Clary Sage Cottage Salon, and that's right. Based in Fourways. And now let's get into kind of the nitty-gritties of beauty.
Right.
Off the bat, what would you say perhaps brides are doing wrong in terms of their beauty regimes leading up to the wedding? So let's call it maybe 3 to 4 months before the wedding. What do you think brides fundamentally do wrong, thinking that they're doing it correctly for their wedding?
I possibly think they're not starting early enough with the facials and looking after themselves. When it's your wedding day, you're basically on show from your toes to your hair.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think it's maybe 6 months in advance to take care of your skin, to look after your body, take care of your hands, take care of your feet. These are all parts of the body that's going to be on show, that's going to be photographed. So I think it's a tip-to-toe beauty regime should start at least 6 months before.
Mm, so they're starting too late.
So in terms of facials, how often in that 6 months should you be doing facials?
You should be doing your facial once a month.
Once a month.
Once a month, yes.
Would that only be for the ladies or?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. The salon has got many grooms.
Okay.
So they are also on show. They also want to look good in their suits.
It amazes me with men. I do think men are incredible creatures because, you know, we look, when it comes to the wedding day, the brides kind of put their makeup on and essentially we're painting our faces. Whereas the grooms, they put nothing on and they still look fabulous on the day.
But
so
now trends at the moment, Kali, is male grooming.
Yeah.
On the day, we do a serum on their skin, which helps to absorb that shine.
Okay.
We do an anti-shine see-through powder on their faces. So it's matting them down so they're not perspiring and shining on the photos like a beacon.
Okay.
That's a beacon. I had a question about males. Specifically, what do you find they suffer from the most? Why I'm asking is that I find myself advising a lot of grooms about, especially ingrowth, like the black beard syndrome kind of thing.
Just to give you a bit of background, sorry to interrupt you. For the listeners, Ntombi does professional makeup artistry as well.
Yeah.
So she's not just a wedding planner, but she that advises on skin concepts and regimes on that.
Yeah.
But she actually does do professional makeup. So she does have her experience as well. She's not
thanks,
just
doll.
Giving it out. You know.
Out my toes.
So to answer your question, I think they should at least be having 2 or 3 facials.
Okay.
If there's ingrown hairs, we can help sort out that skin skin condition before.
What are they like when they come for a facial?
They're not talkative.
Are they scared?
It's awkward for them.
A tad scared. But yeah. Because the salon is quite private.
Yeah.
They come, they get on the bed and they sleep.
Oh, they sleep. They snore.
Yeah, it's nap time. Yeah, nap time.
And they just let you do your thing.
Do you have any recommendations for them? Like, for example, sometimes I always recommend that the grooms, especially if their brows seem rather bushy.
A unibrow?
Yeah, or rather overgrown. Sometimes I do recommend that you just clean them. Not necessarily shape. Like, you don't need to have eyebrows on fleek.
No shaping, but just clean it up. They still want to be
manly.
Manly.
Do you know the funny thing is, Jacques, he never used to do anything with his eyebrows. And since the wedding, and now it's like, 3 years ago,
yeah.
Every like couple of months, it's like, I got to sort these brows out. I'm like, babe, you're like worse than I am now, you know?
To say the most loyal clients in the salon is my male.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because they don't want to do it themselves.
No. And they're loyal. They love the time out with the massage and the pampering.
Stunning.
And they don't miss an appointment for love or money.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's probably like a thing where, like a male thing. Like, I don't want to start this process with anyone else. And she knows
it.
Me.
She knows
and
that's
I'm good.
I want to talk about eyebrows and things like that. Because I think a lot of women tend to struggle with if they have, like, waxing versus threading versus plucking. I know I can't do waxing because I get those little bumps that look like little pimples. And I didn't want that before the wedding, that you come up with these little things. How far in advance should you do that type of thing, waxing, I would say? And then when should you...
I'm basically helping you on your journey to that big day. So if I'm going to do eyebrow shaping, let's do it 3 months before.
Just so you can see the shape.
So you can see the shape. You can get used to it. Sometimes it's very different. You don't recognize yourself in the mirror.
And maybe you don't like it.
Maybe you don't like it. We can grow
especially
it
for
out.
You'd be surprised at how many people actually don't do their brows. Like,
it's amazing.
I used to think that it's like a common thing that every woman was doing.
No, look
brows.
At mine right now.
But, I mean,
I'm no like, comments. Oh God, thank God we're behind the microphone.
But I mean, it's surprising how many people don't like wear makeup every day or even touch their brows ever in their, like the last time they did was their matric dance.
So if you never
my God.
legit.
If like you bushes. Never wear makeup, then you don't know how bad your eyebrows really are. Yeah. And your eyebrows frame your eyes. So it's very important.
I'm talking, I'm not the makeup artist or the beautician here. And like, it amazes me. Eyebrows are actually quite interesting things. You go to the shops sometimes and you see some of the tellers and they've got, and Tombi, you paint yours on it.
Yeah.
Like, but they're always.
Why do you always try to out me? You always. She's always on my weave, on my eyebrows, on my makeup, on my. Leave me alone! Jesus Christ! Leave me alone! Oh my God.
But you always look fab. And, you know, some people don't have eyebrows, so they have to.
So, what is very on trend these days? It's micro needling. So mothers of the bride or a bride that's gone too thin with eyebrows, it's almost like a semi-tattoo that they cut into the skin and it's almost, or they call it feathering.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It is beautiful. It makes
so it's quite, is it permanent?
It lasts
semi-permanent.
Lasts from 12 to 18 months.
Because I might sound like I'm outing you, but I could never, wouldn't even dream of putting stuff on my eyebrows because I would get the wrong shape. And even if you wanted to use that liquid liner, I wish you could see me trying to explain this to the ladies. But the liquid liner on the top of your
eyelid.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I think, I'm not going to say, like, it's an advantage I'm a makeup artist. Yeah. I'm never going to say, even my friends say the same thing and they always say, oh my God, your eyebrows or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it is an advantage. And if you take and eyebrows, look, I also have bad eyebrows. Days they can look super surprised or angry or whatever, but it is a practice thing. So if you learn how to do them and you literally need to put in the work every day, and I always say to people, if you're not confident, try them just before you go to bed, you know, when you wash your face at night, try them then, and then until you get confident enough to wear them out. But eyebrows, it's not an easy thing.
Lashes. What about lashes? Because I know a lot of my clients are going for the lash extensions. Sometimes it looks, most of the times it looks absolutely gorgeous. But then sometimes you see these women, they're hugely overly extended. Sometimes that can actually make them a little bit I always call them
if
you heard me.
Yeah. But I always call them like checkers eyelashes because it's you know, usually at like the till, it's like the tailors and the plastic packers or whatever the case is, they have like brooms on their eyes.
Oh,
it's
wow.
like these thick
bristles.
Yeah, so
you've got to get it done professionally.
100%.
So Lynn, explain to me, how does that work? How does a professional put on the eyelashes and they take you in through from the wedding through to the honeymoon?
Yes.
Because you don't want to be like losing half your lashes.
It's very much on trend to have lash extensions. Mm. Even if you've got beautiful long lashes, it's going to add to it.
Accentuate.
And it's going to also make it fuller. So it almost takes your makeup to the next level. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So what you do, you come into the salon, you lie on the bed. They basically glue one eyelash on your one eyelash.
Do they attach it to the eyelash?
Yes, they attach it with surgical glue.
Okay.
It is a painstaking process from 1.5 to 2 hours for application.
Wow. Mm. And how long do they last?
They last 10 to 14 days.
Oh, wow.
But once you stand up from the bed, the results are incredible.
And then you can also do the ones that you just have on for the day. You've done that for me.
Yeah.
Where you put them on, the strip lashes.
Yeah, and that I think I always do for clients that are, especially somebody who hasn't worn makeup before, whatever the case is, who at the end of the night wants to be done with the whole thing. It's almost like you had to convince them, please put lashes on, they're going to look amazing, take a look. And she says, yes, okay, but I want to take them off at the end of the night. So, and what's nice about strip lashes is that I try to teach my clients so that they can actually use them again.
I'll never forget that day you put them on. I decided, because my husband said, "Oh, you look very nice." So I went to bed with them. The next morning I woke up and I had half of them off. He's like, "What the hell happened to your face?" And Jacques was like, "Oh, okay. Now I know why he looks so hot last night. It's all fake."
So it's all about the budget.
Yeah.
If you can afford the lash extensions.
What's the average, what does it cost? What the ones that last 12 to 14 days?
Different qualities out there.
What an average?
An average of about 850 to 2,500 rand.
Okay, and then the strip lashes, what?
I don't think your makeup artist should be charging more than about 150, 200 for application for strip lashes, and that should include.
And then
the
do you give the glue for, like, what if it come off halfway through the night and you're like hanging there?
They should attach them. I mean, there is a trick to attaching strip lashes.
That was like my biggest thing. I didn't want to like blink too much.
And then people are like, "Ooh, there she goes." No, but you're supposed to anchor your lash. So you put it like in the corners and in the middle, and once those three points catch, you should be fine.
But as a backup plan, I like to give the glue.
Okay.
And then you just show like the maid of honor or someone, like, if it starts.
But what if you super glue your eye closed or something?
No, man.
Can you do that?
I don't think that's happened yet.
No,
can you do that with a false?
Like, no, you can't. Why? Because we use latex.
Yes.
So it's latex glue. It's not like super glue. to get your eyes. Yeah. But I wanted to also just talk about like the breakage from lash extensions.
Yes.
They are really great, but I have had some issues where the client's lash, because you have to understand, like Lynn's saying, they attach the lash to your lash.
Okay.
And sometimes at that point of attachment, when your lashes start to grow, because as humans we regenerate, that point sometimes does break. How often does that happen? Can my bride perhaps fill her lashes before? Like, when do you start the process of doing like lash extensions?
So the your own lashes last as got a phase of 12 weeks and then it falls out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got three phases.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have it done for your wedding day, we like 48 hours before the wedding.
Oh, okay.
So the glue dries properly. There's very little shedding of the lashes, so it looks perfect on the day.
Okay, and then talking about a couple of days prior to the wedding,
yes.
What is the most important? I know, like, I've had some brides that have decided to go to the tan can or the spray. I think the tan can is more like a sunbed, so that's gradual. But that spray tan.
Okay.
So OMG, I've wanted to be like, what were you thinking? She's got white armpits, orange shoulders, and the dress is starting to show that she's now becoming, she's shedding some of us.
Okay, so Carly, just before we go to tan cans. One tip for the lashes.
Okay.
Do not pick the lashes off your own lashes.
Okay.
Let it fall out naturally.
Oh.
Or go back to the salon, let them take it off. Or if there's one or two left over, take some oil.
Okay.
And just run that over and that will loosen up. But the picking of those lashes.
Then you'll end up with no eyelashes left.
That damages the eyelashes. Okay. So no picking at all.
Yeah. And it's important to tell people that we can only attach lashes to lashes.
Oh, really?
So if you've picked out all of your, for whatever reason, because it happens sometimes you've had a horrible experience and you've picked out your lashes and now there's like four left or something, and then you come and you say, I want lashes. Like, I can't attach to nothing.
Okay,
so also, Carly, I've got a client that has lashes for the last 5 years.
All the time?
All the time. Wow. She loves the lashes. She gets lots of compliments. Having glue on your lashes for 5 years.
But it's the same thing as like your nails. When you put falsies on or whatever, it takes its toll on the nail beds and the nails.
You have to take a break at some point.
Have a break. Don't keep. So for special occasion like your wedding day, it's fantastic. Mm. But don't keep with the lashes for years because it does damage. I must say this client's hardly got any lashes at the moment.
So it's difficult for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so going to this tan can thing, because we've all had, and Tombi, you spoke about that you wanted to talk about like a black person's neck.
Yeah. So let's start with tan.
Tan can. Okay, cool. Okay. So what are you, how often or how far in advance do you recommend that somebody goes onto the tan can? And can you share any horror stories that you've maybe had with the spray tan vibe?
Carly, the spray tan, there's lots of horror stories.
You know, I don't know why people do it.
It's got such a bad name in the industry. That's why I think if you decide you're going to do it, please try it out once or twice way before the wedding. See how your skin reacts. Do you look good? Mm. Are you too dark? Are you too orange?
Yeah.
Can you handle that smell that comes?
Because it stinks.
Does it?
It does. It stinks. I mean, how's your husband, your new hubby going to like the smell of...
It's got a smell of its own.
It's very distinct. It's very distinct tan. You don't have that problem, hey?
No, zero. Tanned all the time.
It's amazing how we all want to be like, you know, like each other.
You certainly feel fantastic when you're nuts and brown. Yeah.
But then it also, when it starts to fade, and generally that's going to be on the honeymoon, it starts to go patchy. And it's
really?
It, like, you look like scaly.
Okay, so some tips for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do not have the spray tan unless you have exfoliated your body.
Oh.
Because the dead skin cells grabs the color.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's where you get the elbows
knees and behind the knees.
Yeah. All darker than the rest of the body. Okay. So exfoliation is important.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to prolong the tan, lots of cream on the body and the face to prolong it.
Okay.
So your body's moisturized.
Oh, wow.
So it's
okay.
Not going dry and flaky.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to look after it like everything else.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Look after it.
100%. I also always say to my white clients that if you're going to tan, figure out which day you look best. Because always when you tan, you always find it's like a haircut for guys. You know, you always find that maybe day four, day five,
it starts to look
like
normal.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are going to do that route, maybe like Lynn is saying, do it ahead, but then also figure out which days are the best.
And you're both makeup artists. Yeah. Now, have you ever struggled in this sense where a bride has already come for her trial? You've obviously made notes on the skin, on the base color you've used and whatever else.
Yeah.
And then she's decided to go for a tan, not tell you. And on the day of the wedding, she's a completely different color.
Yeah.
That must be quite difficult. But you've got your kit. And that's general, but it's just you. It's just a struggle because you've made your notes and
100%.
We've got our kits. We can match up any skin tone, but sometimes the tan goes quite
orange.
Yeah, that's difficult.
And now to match up our orange skin tone.
Yeah, that's
not
difficult.
So easy. Yeah. Not so easy.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to touch a... I think we'll do makeup on another day.
Right,
because
right.
That's quite a that's quite a big one.
Always.
Because they love absolutely love it.
100%. But, you know, Lynn, I was speaking to Carly just before we started. You know, I find like black people sometimes have it's like a hyperpigment.
What did you call
of
it?
Their black neck.
Was it black neck?
Black neck. And I'm sure you've seen it where like a black person, their chest and their face are fine, but you find that their neck, particularly maybe even the back of the neck, but it's also like right around to the sides. Yes. It's just the front that might look the same. Yes. But it's like the collar part of your neck is dark, dark. I think it's hyperpigmentation.
Why would it happen?
I don't know what that is.
It seems to go with darker skins.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a pigmentation. So once again, it's not only evening out the skin tone on the face. Got to take that neck into consideration.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to ask. Is it treatable? Because some people say, like a client will come in and they'll say, are you doing anything about your neck or whatever the case is? And they say, oh, I've been like this forever.
Well, I think often.
You got black neck, girl.
Often it's
and she didn't really know that.
Yeah. And they never really realize that the neck is darker than the face.
Mm.
So that's where I find makeup artist expertise is going to even that neck out to match the body, match the face.
100%.
And I've got another question I have is some brides obviously are wearing maybe a sweetheart or a very strapless dress. They've also got to take care of their arms, their neckline, their back, their shoulders. What, as a beautician, what can you recommend to the brides out there that they could possibly do themselves?
Okay.
That they don't necessarily have to go into a salon. Yeah,
especially if they've got like a lot of spots. You know, I call it back knee.
I mean, I think all of us probably have suffered from it at some stage, and especially with the heat. And I don't know if you've noticed, maybe it's just me, girl. But like in winter, your skin's not seeing any light. So you actually find that I'm like, I can't wait for summer to come that it just gets some, what's that? What's the,
some light
tan.
Some fresh air.
So Carly, I think let us ladies exfoliate from head to toe.
How many times?
At least once a week. At least once a week. And when you come in out of your shower or bath, let's cream ourselves from head to toe. Yeah.
And is it any particular, well, like, can it be aqueous cream or does it have to, can it be, does perfumed cream make a difference?
Aqueous is absolutely fine, hypoallergenic.
Yeah.
It's affordable.
Yeah.
As long as you're into your routine of exfoliation and creaming the body.
Mm. So is it important to have a routine? Because I think sometimes brides actually a month before the wedding, they want to make, and then they change their actual routine, and then they experience problems. I think
so. What are big like no-nos? I think that's a big thing. Like I always tell my clients, don't like change facial products 4 to 6 weeks right before your wedding.
You don't have a facial like a day before, hey?
No. If you've been having facials the last 6 months, I would say last facial 2 weeks before.
Mm. 2 weeks, wow.
In case. I know as you get closer to the wedding, there's more stress.
Yes.
You don't quite know how
the stress is. Because stress really plays a part on your skin.
A big part. So let's do the facial 2 weeks before. If there's a problem, 2 weeks to sort it out so your skin is perfect.
Yeah.
And they say there's certain things that you need to stay away from. So things like coffee.
100%.
Alcohol.
Because coffee stains your teeth.
Yes.
So I think everyone knows that. It's just you don't take into consideration how much. Like I always look at like my teenage photos in high school and tertiary when I wasn't stressed in life and didn't need coffee like I do now. My teeth are like white and bright, and now it's just like a dim shade of
coffee,
something.
Alcohol.
But doesn't alcohol make your face puffy?
Yes, and it dehydrates the body. So
and then that also causes the cravings. Yes. So then you're going to be eating crazy junk 100%. Food, and that's not good for your.
Basically a vicious circle.
So keep to your greens and your absolutely. And your fruit and your fruit.
Don't go all together. I don't say don't have any alcohol, but try and eat healthily leading up to the wedding.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because your skin's going to look magnificent.
You want to glow.
Absolutely. Sure. You want that wonderful glow, healthy look.
100%. And that's why I always say, I mean, like a few things that I always say to brides is, you know, even if I'm not doing their makeup and I'm planning, I'll say to them, water. Like pump water, because water makes you glow. It clears everything up, and it helps with like stress, anything that could happen because of stress, like a breakout or whatever the case is. But then also, you know, like Carly's saying, like the alcohol makes you have cravings and that kind of thing. Salty things, because a lot of people will crave like chips and slop chips and that kind of thing. Salty things make you bloat.
Yes.
And for your dress, you don't want, you know, everyone knows how uncomfortable it can be to be bloated.
A lot of people, I mean, I don't know if you would call, this is not necessarily a beauty a beauty regime, but what about your period on the night of the wedding or a honeymoon? Have you ever given advice like that? On
yes. If the bride's on the pill, they can take
skip it.
They skip the placebo pill.
So you can work around it.
But some people forget about it. I've had a bride cry on the day of her wedding, and she's like, "Oh my god, she's come."
A few of those. Yeah, and I've also realized that sometimes your period is snucks. Like it comes based on feelings. So like when you're super super emotional, there comes the flood. Yes, so you do have to.
So don't forget about that.
Yeah, you do have to plan.
And also leading up to the wedding, even if you're highly organized, you are stressed.
Yeah.
And when you're stressed, ladies reach for carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The chips, the potatoes, the rice, which all makes you more bloated and feel uncomfortable in your skin. Sure. So, quite a vicious circle.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to ask about was waxing. I know we spoke about brows, but I mean, I have ladies that have super airy arms, and obviously their legs, their cooch area, like they want to. Obviously, it's a big day. You want to be ready. You want to be ready. But in terms of waxing, how far in advance do you think that like full body waxing, let's say? Also considering any facial waxing. You know, some people have a really, like their hair is very, very dark.
Around
and
the end.
Yeah, and then right on their upper lip. It looks like, even if it is very fine hair, but because it's dark, it looks like a mustache.
It almost looks like pigmentation.
Exactly, exactly.
So if you're hairy once again, let's not leave it to a week before. Mm. Let's try it out early. Let's wax the body, wax the legs.
And that's to guys too, hey?
Yes.
Yeah, please try us out.
Yes.
when they call it back, Zach and Zach.
I don't think they'll be back.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So let's try out the waxing 6 to 8 weeks before. See how the body reacts. If it does well, great. We know how the body reacts. Sure. If you're ultra sensitive, maybe we don't leave it to that last week. Mm.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, especially in the bikini area, you're going to go into honeymoon and you're going to be wearing your bikini and whatever else you
also
don't
want.
Also,
on the night, I'm sure you have nice panties planned. So you also don't want to have.
That's going
to
be a whole other
featuring.
Podcast.
Yeah, you don't want to have like bush featuring on the side there. But, you know, my whole thing with wax is that people need to understand, if you've never waxed before, like the bulb of where your hair grows into, it's much bigger the first time. So when you wax, it just makes the hair finer and then it becomes less painful. It's always going to be like a shock to the system when you get a wax. But I definitely recommend waxing as opposed to like shaving. Why? Because of the ingrowns.
Yeah.
And ingrowns, I'm sure every woman has experienced it. They are so painful.
Yeah.
And so uncomfortable. And they can really like pigment any area. And like it can turn into a horror, really.
And waxing is the luxury treatment.
Yeah.
It's not the shaving.
Sure.
It's waxing is the ultimate treatment for a woman.
100%.
Once again, it's budget.
I have one last question.
I've got lots of questions here, but I've got one of my last questions that I've got is, you know, South Africa, we deal with our weather is very good and it's generally quite hot during the day. After you've done the makeup for your clients, you go and she's got the rest of the day to be there with her guests, and she's going to be excited, and that's when the sweat glands start to open or whatever. What can you suggest to a bride on the day of the wedding to try? What if she starts to get shiny or oily? What is it that she needs to do?
So I usually recommend as a makeup artist a touch-up kit.
Okay.
So what we do is we get whatever lip color we've used for her. If there was a lip liner involved as well. Again, it's one of the things that I'll show to the maid of honor as well. Okay, touch it up like so, like so. And then we get powder for them. So whatever powder we've used, and that can usually help with the T-zone.
Okay.
If
okay.
it is,
that's a big thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it is somebody who's got extremely oily skin, I don't recommend putting powder on oil. Because what that ends up looking like is putting powder on water. You know, sand on water?
Clumped.
It's like, yes.
It's
I've seen that very muddy, clayey.
Cake, like a cake look.
Yeah, like clay. Mm. So instead, then I would get...
It looks fine from far, but like when you get close up, you're like... Ooh,
and with today's photography, you can't... Like, yeah. It's very close. Yeah. So what then I suggest is blotting paper. Blotting paper you can get from any countertop makeup shop or whatever the case is. Even at Dis-Chem, they've got blotting paper.
Isn't and it just like kitchen towel?
not quite. It almost looks like, you know, like tissue paper. What do you put your sandwiches in?
That wax paper.
It looks like wax paper. Okay. It's not wax. Please do not use wax paper.
Yes, wax.
But what you want to get is blotting paper, and that absorbs oil. So you can start with that and then put your powder on.
So that's quite an expensive...
Yeah,
is blotting paper expensive?
Well, it certainly
is. It's a luxury. It's definitely a luxury. I mean, worst case scenario, grab a tissue and that should be fine.
And for me, Carly, I like to use primers. There's primers to absorb oil.
Okay.
There's primers to give you radiance.
Okay.
So I go.
Do you recommend that everyday makeup should have a primer on underneath your base?
If you can afford it, yes, okay, that would be wonderful.
Luxury. And then I wanted to find out, what about any... DIY masks or something. So like we're saying, a lot of beauty products and stuff can be a luxury. And obviously, when you're planning a wedding, it can be like quite cost extensive. What can I do at home in terms of like a DIY mask? Maybe I've got really good skin and I haven't had, but now I just want to go for that extra glow. Okay.
So Tumbi, I think depending on what makeup or cleansers you're using, stick to that range. Mm-hmm. If you're using a range that agrees with you, great. Go to the counters, go to the consultant, ask, I'm using your range. What would you recommend? I'd love to add a mask leading up to my wedding.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't suggest, like, you know, on YouTube, and I hate it, they make all these things like in
chocolate,
the blender and honey and banana.
It's
and
all wonderful things, but I don't...
I've had brides wanting to put toothpaste on pimples and stuff like that.
As an anti-inflammatory.
So let's go for a mask that's mixed up already instead of going with the bananas and the honey and the avo and so forth.
But I totally agree.
But if you've got a range that you love and it agrees with your skin, go to the consultant. Tell her, I'm going to be getting married. What would you recommend
for that? Yeah. Yes. And also just a quick tip, please. You know, hands and feet. Again, you're getting married. There's going to be lots of photos with your hands.
I think the minute you get engaged, until the time you get married, it still continues afterwards, but everybody, your hands are an absolute must, because the first thing people say, oh, you're engaged, let's see the ring. You don't want to be, fist punching because you're not wanting to show your bitten nails.
And it's not only for the bride. What about the groom?
The groom.
His hands are...
I've had a groom that actually put, because he bit his nails so badly.
Oh, no.
He actually it was ridiculous. I'm sorry, but they cut them really short, but you could tell.
Yeah.
And just in the photos, it really was like really. Yeah.
Okay, so we might not go for as far as tips, but let's at least file it nicely, all straight.
Yeah, and then you don't have the edges.
And all clean underneath the nails.
And it's also a process that you can start like 4 weeks before. Like, don't surprise him and be like, okay, tomorrow.
We're going for nails.
Yeah, men need like a prep. They don't like to.
But they quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
They really quite enjoy it.
100%.
So. And they're going on honeymoon. They're going to wear their sandals. Why not have a pedicure?
Yeah. Because men's feet can
It takes a beating.
No, they really do. And it's the sports and everything else. And you end up with like claws down there. So just another thing also, please exfoliate your feet, especially brides, if you know you're going to be, most people are wearing sandals on their wedding day.
And then they have bad heels.
Those heels look like you can slot a whole coin in there. So, you know, please, like, exfoliate, make sure your toes look nice. I always say, people say, I do nail polish really well. Go get a professional to do it. Just for this one time, it's going to look better.
And also, it's going to give you a little bit of relaxation to ease the stress so that it does. The stress doesn't come out on your face.
Maybe also a nice tip for bridesmaids. instead of buying gifts that the bride doesn't want, why not treat her to the pedicure, the manicure, and
stunning. And it's a little bit of time together with each other. Absolutely.
Mm. So bridesmaids, I think they can play a part in pampering the bride.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a good thing.
Well, it's been a great podcast. I mean, there is so much more to discuss in this field. But we're very excited. Clary Sage Cottage Salon in Four Ways has kindly given us some prizes. So we do have a competition where the first one is going to be that you are going to get a Soties premium luxury facial. There's actually two of those available. And we want to know on our social media platforms, Wedding Central SA on Facebook and then Wedding Central on Twitter. We want to know your horror stories on the day of a wedding, your beauty horror stories. We want to know that. So put it on our Facebook pages and you could stand a chance of winning those two luxury facials through Soties. And then two lucky ladies, we're going to do it for a maid of honor and a bride. We are going to give you two pedicures and two manicures from Lynn. And we want to know, the question is, I think I've just answered it for you, but we want to know who was our guest on Wedding Central today. And we're very excited to be able to give that away to you. So if you could post that on our social media platforms, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Just a reminder to also just keep conversating with us on all social media platforms. You can hashtag Wedding Central. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter. Lynn Rees, thank you so much for joining us from Lynn Rees Professional Makeup.
And thank you to Wedding Expo and Wedding Inspirations Magazine. And the Wedding Expo is coming up on the 27th and 28th of August. And we look forward to seeing you at the show. CliffCentral.com.